welcome to Moe's Paisley Penny Arcade.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Paisley Penny Arcade. I am Mo Abdelbakian. Today is Wednesday, the 21st of February. Hey, how you doing? I'm the proprietor of the Paisley Penny Arcade, and we're in the Paisley Penny Arcade. Yeah.
That's what it is. Yeah, you. You're in the Penny Arcade, see? Do you see? You dirty rat, you. You're not a dirty rat. You're very nice. You're very nice and sweet to come listen to me in the Paisley Penny Arcade. And how you doing? Hope you had a nice week. I hope you did. Did you? I hope you did. Yeah, it's been quite a week, or two, or three, or four. It's been quite a year so far. It's been better than 2023. By 23 this time, it had been an amazingly annoying year. And I shouldn't speak that way about any year, but boy, oh boy, 2023 kind of deserved it. Did you have an annoying 2023? If so, write to Uncle Sam. Care of... I don't know who to write in care of, but there's always something going on. There's always this or that, or this and that, and this and or that. And so, hope you're doing well. So today, there's a storm front coming in. I always get a little goofy when there's a storm front going in, coming in, going out, wandering about, drunk, knee-walking drunk. Hey, upper. Just one of those days. Got something kind of interesting to talk about today. I'll get to it. Don't worry, I'll get to it. Wow. Impatient? Well, I thought Trudy was impatient. Who's Trudy, you may ask? She's our golden doodle. She's a sweetheart. She's a miniature golden doodle. They make big ones, you know. And but she's a miniature. She's sweet. Smart. Everyone says, yep, that's my dog, smartest dog on the planet. But she's pretty darn smart. Everyone says that, though. Yep, that's my dog. Just as smart as can be. Smartest dog I ever met. Yeah, I'm pretty convinced that's the smartest dog on the planet right now. Yeah, I'm pretty convinced of that. Yeah. Everyone says, except for people who own Irish setters. Now, they have a reputation as being dumb. And I don't know that that is earned. I know they have that reputation, and I don't think it's right. They're sweet, sweet dogs. I've known a couple of Irish setters, and they're just as sweet as can be. They got that beautiful red hair, and they're just as sweet. They just kind of sit around, and they just love. Oh, they're loving dogs. Now, if I could get away with just hanging around all the time and just laying around and, you know, say, that's just Mo. Mo just lays on the couch all day long, sits on the couch and, you know, eats. He watches TV. But between you and me, Mo's just as dumb as a nail. He's just as dumb as a bowl full of pudding. You know, and tapioca pudding at that. Just not very smart. So we don't ask him to do much of anything. Which is kind of my life, actually. Yep.
Well, that Moldy's pretty darn stupid, so we don't ask too much of him. That's all right. I that's fine with me. I don't mind. Yeah. They gave me one of those IQ tests when I was a kid, and it come in a little higher than maybe I think it should have, and so they expected stuff of me, which I did not provide. I did not provide what they expected. That was a problem. That was indeed a problem. Underachiever. Yep. Kind of my trademark throughout life. Now here's it kind of brings us to one of my points. What if, think about this for a second. What if we are who we are the moment we're born? Now bear with me. I know that's kind of a strange thing to say. But what if we are who we are immediately? Just right away, we are exactly who we are. So we have to go through everything we go through in order to be exactly who we are. All right? So in other words, we've all gone through a lot of horrible, horrible stuff in our lives, and we've all gone through a lot of great, great stuff in our lives. You know? Have you ever had your birthday completely forgotten? Have you ever had it forgotten? I had mine almost completely forgotten. I was probably 12 or 13. Maybe 14. I don't remember exactly which it were, as they say in England. In some colloquialisms. I don't remember which it was. It was, I was a teen, and I was all day, not a word, not a happy birthday, not a this, not a that, and I went to bed, and not a word, not a this, and then I was kind of bummed about that, you know. It was like, wow, you know, my birthday, and it was the first time it ever happened. And I went to bed, and I'm laying in bed, and no, I wasn't crying, but I was, you know, kind of miffed. And suddenly, the door burst open, and my mom walked in with what looked like a house on fire, you know, between her hands, and it was a cake. And my dad and my mom were there, and they were singing Happy Birthday, and they'd remembered somewhere along the line. And my mom, who was a kind of a magician in the kitchen, she had whipped together a cake. It was late. I mean, it was probably just barely still my birthday, and they sang Happy Birthday to you. And I knew, and they knew I knew, that they'd forgotten. But what a lovely, presentation it was. And, you know, her specialty was she could ice roses, and she iced Happy Birthday and, you know, and all that stuff. And she would always ice it in Arabic as well, so I couldn't read it. So it probably said, you know, we love you even though you're kind of a donkey, you know. And I'm kidding. But it was amazing. But if you've ever been through something like that, you know, kind of, have you ever been through a heartache? Have you ever, I had gout for years, and I take medication now, so it keeps it from happening, thank goodness. But what a problem that was. I mean, holy moly. And I didn't have insurance, and I didn't have a doctor, and, you know, people would say things like, try cherry juice. I chopped down an entire orchard of cherry trees and smashed all the cherries in it and drank, you know, gallons and gallons of cherry juice to no avail. I mean, nothing worked. And finally, you know, you kind of age out of the system, or you just kind of break down and say, okay, I've got to go see a doctor. And you know, and the problem was, you know, I've never had a lot of bucks because I do this for a living, not this on the radio, but because I'm on the other side of society, so to speak, you know. I was talking to a friend of mine who's also on the other side of society, and we talked about how society has never treated us really, and we're both relatively intelligent guys. But we're alternative. We're metaphysical guys. There are some metaphysical guys who make tons and tons of money in metaphysics.
I'm not complaining. Please don't mistake me for complaining. And I'm not bitter, although I have been bitter in the past, you know. But you just realize, and this is what I'm getting to, is that you experience a lot of things. You experience immense paradigms of greed and charlatanism and this and that over the years, you know. And you go through these things, and heartache, heartbreak, oh my God, you've experienced it. I've experienced it. I've had my heart ripped out of my chest over and over and over again. I've been betrayed by best friends who have just broken my heart. You think, wait a minute, this person I thought was my best friend, and look what they did to me. You wouldn't believe the things that have happened to me at the hands of quote-unquote best friends. And you say, but I loved this person and thought this person was, you know, not only cat's meow, but cat's purring and cat's scratch fever and everything else. But you go through this stuff. Now, what if you wouldn't be you without all of this? And what if you were born to go through all of this? What if that is exactly what it's all about? You know? What if that's just how it goes? What if that's what life's about? Now, I was having a discussion with a young fella who has been through some pretty rough things. And when I say young fella, he's less than half my age. That's pretty young. And I'm getting to be kind of a coot, but I'm not as old as some people, like people who are in the Senate or people who, you know, like those people. But I'm getting along. But this fella was less than half my age. And he feels like he's getting along in his years. But he's been through some pretty tough stuff. And I was able to tell him that a lot of what he's gone through in life, as a matter of fact, most of what he's gone through his life, is just the seasoning that has allowed him to become who he is today. That he thought he knew exactly what he was doing before, and he did really well, but he wasn't the character, and I don't mean character like, you know, he's a character, that guy's a real character, but he didn't have the character he had yet. He learned a lot about life. He gained a lot of experience through doing what he did, by having the troubles he had, the heartbreak he had, the disappointments he had, by going through the problems that he incurred, by having to dig his way out of the holes that he had dug himself into. It's hard to dig yourself out of certain holes. So what if our lives, with all the problems, what if our lives with all the disappointments, what if they are all part and parcel of what we, for lack of a better term, sign up for at one point or another? Now, I don't mean that, you know, that there's some fella who says, okay, if you're going to go down this time, and you sure can choose this or not choose this, here is what it's going to look like, okay? Right about the time you hit 42, 43, 44, you're going to come out with 6 solid weeks of gout, and boy, are you going to be miserable. But it'll teach you a few things, you know. It'll teach you that cherry juice won't fix it. It'll teach you a lot of things. But it'll also teach you an immense amount of compassion. It'll do this. It'll do that. It'll frustrate you. Teach you that you need to go see a doctor every now and then. It'll teach you a lot of stuff. You can either do that or not. You have to choose another life. But there will be benefits down the line, or this or that. I mean, I don't think that's how it works. But I do think that we have to accept certain things about our lives as we go along and realize that there is this conglomerate, this huge amount of stuff in our lives that is just us, that is who we are, and that's important. You know, we are who we are. We are who we are. As Popeye used to say, my friend Popeye, my old buddy, met him when I was just a very small kid, and immediately I said, I like this guy. I like him. He's pretty ethical. And he seems to have a pretty good head on his shoulders. He's got a temper. He's kind of grumpy, but I like him. He said, I am what I am. And that's all that I am. And he was not ashamed of being Popeye the Sailor Man. Never could figure out if he was a merchant marine or not. I think that's what he was a merchant marine, which is an honorable trade. But we are what we are, and that's all that we are. So here's the premise. The future is right now. We are living our future in the present because the future doesn't exist, does it? I mean, this is the future right now. We are right now, as I speak to you, and presumptuously, my present is your future, because listening in the present, there are many people listening to this show right now in my present, but there are presumably many more people listening to my show in my future. I know. Yeah, let me catch up here. So the point is that the present, your present, could very well be my past. Right? And what that means is that no matter when it happens, it is still the present. So the future is nonsense. So what we have is the present. And the present is always a part of the future. And that to me is a kind of a mind-blowing, numbing, solidifying sort of thing. Mind solidifying. Yeah, it happened a few times when I was a younger man. We all have this thought of who we are and who we can be. But what if who we can be is who we are now? What if who we can be is presumptive on what we are right now? In other words, we are already who we can be. Now, what if you accept that? What if you accept that you are already exactly who you can be? Now, that doesn't mean you stop working toward it. That doesn't mean you stop trying to be somebody. It doesn't mean that you stop pushing in life, because that is mandatory. You can always blow it, but maybe that's part of it. Maybe you have to blow it in order to get to where you're going to. And I mean to as in additionally to, and also where you're headed toward. You say, ending with a dangling participle, prepositional, dysfunctional, mandatory phrase. See, I didn't pay attention in English. You can tell. I didn't pay attention much in school. Should have. I mean, I write every week. I should have paid a little more attention, you know. But that's the whole thing, is talking about who can we be when, in fact, we are already who we can be. And we will only end up being who we are now working toward. Does that make sense? Probably not. But think about that for a while. Think about the fact that you can be anything you want to be as long as you are willing to accept the fact that you are who you are. Right? I say right a lot. That's fine too. Okay? I say okay a lot too. So, yeah. There's I've got a YouTube thing. A channel, I guess they call it. You know. If I spoke in an English accent, I suppose it might be an English channel, but that will offend people, I know, I'm sure. I was born in England, so rightfully so. But, and on one of the things I do about the I Ching, I say okay and all right, like, I think, 20,000-30,000 times in this thing. And people get so upset. I mean, there's a couple of people who just get furious. And it's like it drives them absolutely crazy. And something about that really kind of amuses me. I don't know why. It tickles me. Especially there are people who are supposed to be very, like meditation teachers and things like that, and it just drives them out of their minds. And it's like, oh, well, that's okay. All right. Okay. All right. You know. You know? Yep. Pretty infantile. I'll admit it, sophomoric humor, but then I watch The Three Stooges and I laugh. And I laugh at Shemp. For those of you who don't know anything about Shemp, well, you know. The only one I don't find so funny is Joe. And Curly Joe, not funny at all. I can't help it. They were trying hard, but oh my goodness. Anyway, so think about that for a while, about becoming, you're not becoming anything, you already are. You already are exactly who you are. And that everything you've gone through, everything you're going through now, is mandatory for the final product. But there is no final product, because that's just, you know, kind of on a destination. It's like being on a train. If you're on a train and you can't enjoy the ride, then it's a bummer. I don't know if you've ever ridden on a train. Train travel used to be the thing. I've never been on a train in this country. I've ridden on one in Egypt, and that was really tremendous because I've traveled from Cairo to Alexandria and back a few times, many times when I was a kid, but a couple times in the 70s, and it's just fascinating to see, because the minute you get out of the city, you're traveling back in time, because it really hasn't changed much. You know, there are cars and trucks, and then there are oxen and, you know, things like that, temples, and it's beautiful. My God, it's a beautiful country. Something to see. If things simmer down over there and you have an opportunity and it's safe, I will reiterate, safe, something to go see. I mean, it's been a tourist destination for thousands of years. It's really something. If you get to the Sphinx, make sure you look at the graffiti on the Sphinx, because some of it is thousands of years old. I mean, you can see Lord Byron's graffiti on the Sphinx and Shelley. It's like, wow, nice touch. U.S. Grant. Yes, the President of the United States left graffiti on the Sphinx. And they don't talk about that much, but it's worth seeing that sort of thing. And you look at it and you go, wow, that's amazing. You're looking at graffiti that's, when I saw it, was over 100 and some years old. About 100, less than 110. But it had been there for a while. Now I guess about 110 years old. Huh. Someone asked me, so Mo, why do you call this the Paisley Penny Arcade? Well, I like Paisley. It reminds me of a time when I was younger, and things were really nice. The world wasn't great. There was trouble the way there's trouble now, but nothing like this. The world is not in lovely shape now, because it seems like there are insane people running things. I don't happen to think that there's an insane person at the head of this country, the United States. I think that he's, pretty good guy, actually. But that's just me. And the penny arcade part is because that's how I see what I do. It's like a big penny arcade. And I enjoy that aspect of it. I like it a lot. as a matter of fact. It's a lot of fun for me. I like having the penny arcade. So what is a penny arcade? Well, it's whatever I want it to be, isn't it? Because this is theater of the mind. With theater of the mind, you can do whatever you darn well want to. And that's the imagination. And I believe in exercising the imagination. As someone who has practiced divination from the time I was a kid, in some form or another, the imagination is the most powerful tool you have for doing divination properly. Now, there are types of divination that you don't necessarily want to exercise the imagination as much. Tarot is pretty good for imagination. But you have to be able to kind of put A and B together and come up with X squared, you know, and find the hypotenuse. And hypotenuses live in the river because they like the cool water. Also, one of the most dangerous animals in the world. They can run at about 35 miles an hour. So don't try to outrun one. That is a hypotenuse, isn't it? I can't remember. But I happened to find one of the things that I did hear. And that was, I had a thing called the Shanty Shanty. And what that was is the Shanty Shanty was kind of a fun little thing where I would put the coin in the slot, as you would in a penny arcade. And then it would become, well, it was a little shanty. And it was it looked like a little outhouse, actually. And I would put the coin in, and it would transform into this ship. And then there were a bunch of guys that looked like me, and we would sing a sea shanty. So I decided to play one of those. It was one of the ones that I did. So if you'll bear with me, just for fun, because it was a lot of fun, and I haven't visited the Shanty Shanty in a long time, but this is one of the older ones. Let's just play that against a rerun. And if you haven't seen enough reruns lately, then you haven't turned on your television in the last 6 months. Here it is. I'm really in the mood to sing a song. I really am. So here we go. Open up the door here. Yipper, yipper. And let's get inside. Oh my God, I'd forgotten how bad it smells in this tiny little place, but that's right, it's standing on the poop deck. So, and that's some sort of joke. I don't think it has to be that way, but that's the way it is. All right, now put the coin in. Blow the Oscar Mayer weenie whistle because the bosun's whistle in here doesn't work. And wait for the magic to occur. Oh, here we go. Oh, I love this part. It's so cool. Here it goes, getting bigger and bigger. Up, up, up. Almost fell over. Don't want to do that. Especially here. Here go the masts. Up we go. Always fascinates me how they do this. So cool. Still don't know how this thing works. Wow. Where is everybody? Shouldn't there be a crew waiting for me, ready to sing? I don't know what's going on. Hello? Hey. Crewmates, I'm here. Ahoy! Ahoy, you lover. Get ready to sing.
Oh, what do you do with a drunken sailor? What do you do with a drunken sailor? What do you do with a drunken sailor?
I know what you're doing. Tetanus?
Tetanus.
If he gets tetanus,
tetanus.
He could die of lockjaw.
Oh, come on.
Lockjaw?
What? What?
I'm sure he's had a tetanus shot recently.
I mean, who doesn't have a
tetanus shot? This guy's a lunatic.
It's a song.
I thought I was crazy.
Last time I had a tetanus shot. Now you've got me all freaked out,
man.
But he shouldn't have been
tetanus. I had a tetanus shot anyway.
I don't even know.
Oh, God.
But we were just
lunatic. Now I have to call the doctor and make sure I've had a tetanus shot. Thanks
a lot,
man.
Fun out of it. It's an old song.
Now I have to go call the doctor. Did I have a tetanus shot recently?
Reality.
God almighty, holy mackerel. Okay, I'll come
who
up with something.
Who wants to go next?
I'll go next. Okay, I'll go next.
Wait a minute.
Who is it who said tetanus shot anyway? I mean, really?
Over here, it was me. And exactly which one of me are you?
I am the older but wiser Mo.
Well, you don't have to be a fuddy-duddy. I mean, it's a... You know, I don't want to do this anymore. Not today, anyway. Let's meet again later, shall we?
It's your decision, not mine. Don't blame me. I'm being responsible. You're the one who's making the decision to call it off.
And that is strange, but that is, kind of how I feel about things and what goes through my strange mind. So, just thought I'd play that from a past show. Maybe I'll do that from now on. I like to do strange things. I like to, I mean, we gotta, you know, gotta kind of find interest in life, right? I had fun doing that. That's the Paisley Penny Arcade. You never know quite what's going to happen, do you? Do you? Do you? Do you? Do you? I don't have any idea. I mean, you know, you never really know exactly what's going to happen and why it's going to happen. That's the big thing. Don't know why. I don't think there has to be a reason for everything. A lot of people try to find a reason. I know people say, well, there's a reason for everything. And I completely and totally disagree with that. There isn't a reason for everything, but I believe there is a lesson in everything. A lesson in everything. I carry around a set of beads. I carry around actually more than one set of beads. People think I'm probably pretty nuts, but I carry around a set of beads that I use when I'm waiting somewhere. And those are beads to run that I can meditate with or that I can simply contemplate with or that I can simply run to just kind of like, you know, just to mellow the heck out. And I have a set of beads that I can work the I Ching with, that I can use for the I Ching. Now, some people call them dragon beads. It doesn't matter what you call them. But they're based on a De Bruijn sequence. And with these beads, I can ask a question and simply run these beads through my fingers. And they're a circle, so they're like a bracelet. And I just made one the other day out of beads. Beautiful. Really came out beautifully. And it looks very pretty. They're very small beads. They're 6 millimeter. I think I'm going to make one. I know I'm going to make one out of 8 millimeter. Elastic. And I'll just wear that one instead. The 6 millimeter are a little bit too small. I like them, but I think I'll go with 8 millimeter. I think it will be a little bit better. And with these beads, you can land upon one bead, and all 64 hexagrams can be possibly found with these. And then there's a way that you can find moving lines that uses the same odds as the Yarrow stock method. And so you can be anywhere
doing anything, and you simply pop these beads off your wrist or pull them out of your pocket, and zip, 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 and there you are. You find immediately a hexagram, which is a very valuable tool because you have a question, boom, there's the answer. And it does predicate you having either a copy of the I Ching. You can easily find small I Ching books that you can put in your pocket or your pouch or your purse or, you know. But if you've worked with it a long time, you'll have, you know, it in your head. And it doesn't mean I have all the moving lines in my head, but I've got, you know, a pretty good idea of what they are. And because I've been working, I first started with the I Ching in 1968. I was just a kid. The story of that is kind of phenomenal. I've written about that, but I'll tell you the story one of these days, because this is what I mean. Some things are, I don't know if that was an accident, actually. That was the result of my being a wise guy. And being insolent beyond comprehension, but it was also the result of another man's dislike of me, and his anger toward me, so I'll tell you the story. I think I've told this before, but I'm going to tell you the story because I want you to understand how the universe works. Okay, there was a gym teacher. And he just didn't like me because I was a fat kid and I was a slow kid. And I think I don't know if there was any more to it than that. And I didn't try very hard, you know. And he'd say, I know you can run faster than that. And I didn't. Maybe I didn't want to. I don't know what the truth of that is. Let me think just a second. Well, I was flat-footed. And I had no interest. There you go. So anyway, it's a long story. One day I was head boy my ninth grade year in junior high school. I was a popular kid, and so they decided, oh, he's going to be head boy, and whatever that means. And so they gave me the chore to give him a note, go give this guy a note. And he had his own office adjoining the gym. And I happened to catch him singing Volare into his comb as he was standing in front of the mirror. And I just snickered and laughed. And he came over and he grabbed me and pushed me up against the wall and lifted me off the ground. He was a strong feller. He had been a Marine. And he basically hissed at me, if anyone, you know, you do blah, 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 you know. And I said, oh, yes, sir, you know, that sort of thing. And, of course, knew right away that I was going to tell my friends. And so not only would I tell them, but one day I was imitating him. I was stupid. I was a stupid kid, you know, a stupid, 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 stupid kid. And rude and disrespectful. I admit that. But it was so ridiculous. So I had a comb and I was, you know, singing Volare into the comb. And my friends suddenly looked like little wet mice. And I just realized, oh my God, he's standing in back of me. And I suddenly was lifted up off the ground by my shirt collar. And he was angry isn't the word, as he was walking me down the hall. You know, I was just barely touching the ground. And his anger was really quite amazing. So I'm going down the hall at like 3 million miles an hour. And the students are just parting their ways, except for my friend Joe, who was a hippie at the time, even at that age. And he said, hey, Mo, how you doing? And it was just amazing. I said, hi, Joe. You know, as I went by, and I shouldn't have even said that. He said, shut up, behind me, you know.
And he threw me into the library, and he slammed me down into a chair. He looked around for a minute first, looked around, then he slammed me down in front of a chair, and he said, "You see this row of books?" And I said, "Yes, sir." And I was hurt. He was hurting me, but I knew better than to say anything. And he said, "See this top row of books?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "You're going to take one of these books, and yelling in the library, yelling. And every student, it was, you know, there were some students that were there on study hall and that sort of thing. He said, "You're going to take one of these books, and you're going to read that book from cover to cover, because you have detention in here, and you're not going to read any other book except one of these books on this top shelf. Do you understand me?" And I said, "Yeah, yes, sir." And he said, "Do you understand me?" And I'm, you know, "Yes, sir." And he slammed me and walked away. And they were all Bibles. Bible, 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 I Ching. Well, he hadn't seen that one. I Ching, Book of Changes by William, Richard Wilhelm, Carry F. Baines. And that was up there. And I don't know why it was up there. I don't know why it was up there, but he hadn't noticed that. And so I took that book. And that was my introduction to the I Ching, the Book of Changes. So that's how the universe worked. And he came back about 15 minutes later, and he screamed at me and said, "I told you to read that book." And the librarian came over. She was a very sweet little lady, she was an older woman, and she had red hair, and she was bright red, and she said, "That is exactly where that book was, on that top shelf." And she said, "You cannot tell him not to read that book." And so every day for, I don't remember how long, but for weeks, I would come in and I would look at the I Ching. And that was my introduction to it. And I was hooked after that. I had no idea who Carl Jung was, but that was my introduction to Carl Jung because he wrote the foreword of that book. And I didn't buy a copy of that book for myself until my 33rd birthday. Because I don't know why. I guess because I don't know why. I was broke a lot, but I borrowed a copy from a good friend of mine, who I'm now lucky enough to be able to FaceTime with every now and then. Quite a bit, actually. And that is the universe. That's how the universe works. And I didn't understand how to use it for quite some time. But when I actually sat down and did an I Ching casting, because I didn't even realize that it was for that. But I loved the way it sounded, and I loved the way it, you know, I was like, "Wow, what is this?" And then I began to realize slowly that it was about more than just wisdom and more than just philosophy, that it was a form of divination. Oh, man. You know, so I've been working with the I Ching since I was about 14 years old. And wow, the wisdom that is in that book is without a doubt. If you haven't, and there are so many different versions of the I Ching. James Legge wrote a book on it, and it's not bad. I mean, it's not bad, but there's some white man burden versions, ideas in the book that I'm not overly fond of, but they're there. And you're going to expect that. I mean, he wrote it, I think, 1895. I could be way off. But, you know, nevertheless. And there are many thousands of other books. Stephen Karcher wrote what's considered to be a very good book, but my favorite is still the Wilhelm Baines book. Carry F. Baines translated the Wilhelm version from German into English. Richard Wilhelm was a missionary who went to China, who got to know a Taoist priest, and that Taoist priest tuned him into what was really going on there in the book.
And he really does kind of lay it out very nicely in a way that other books don't. And I've got translations that are from Confucius, the Confucian school. And you know, you really read all these. And I always go back to the Wilhelm Baines translation. So if you're looking for, and it's not necessarily easy, but if you just read it, and you just, the idea is that it's so natural, and it's probably somewhere in the neighborhood. They claim it's 5,000 years old. It might be that old. So when you do a hexagram and you've got these beads and you're somewhere and you don't have the book, and you pull it and you just think, oh, here's the picture, you know, like influence, wooing, the 32nd, the 31st hexagram, you know, it's influence, you know, also known as wooing. And the picture in the two hexagram, two trigrams put together make a hexagram, and it's a mountain with a lake at the top. And you think, well, wow, think about that. First of all, a mountain with a lake at the top. Well, I live in Colorado. I've been to a lot of mountains with lakes at the top. And they're beautiful. You go there and it's beautiful, but there are a lot of places like, you know, you think about mountains with lakes at the top. Well, and if you look up on your internet there, you look up Mount Kailash in what used to be Tibet. You know, is now part of China. There is a Mount Kailash. There's several of them in Asia, but the one I'm speaking of looks like a big bell. It's rounded at the top, and it's very sacred, and no one goes there climbing because it's reputed to have, it's very sacred. You can see that Shiva might be in that mountain. You can see Shiva in the mountain. I mean, you can actually see this figure. And it's a formation, you know, and you can see a trident, and you can see all sorts of things, you know, and it's really a remarkable place, and pilgrims go there. But there are two lakes. There's one called Manasarovar, and there's one called Rajas, and one is roundish more or less, and then one is crescent shaped, and I mean, it's just you see this, you know. You see these there are some mountains that have lakes on the top that are kind of dry, and then there are others that have trees around them. And you think about all this stuff and influence, wooing. Well, that's what's that about? Well, Wilhelm tells you. He says, well, if you're going to have a lake and you're going to have it stocked with water, well, the mountain needs to be able to be gentle and kind. And the mountain needs to be able to draw clouds to it, to have rain, to fill the lake. And you go, wow, what an incredible image. It has to be able to woo. It has to be able to convince. It has to be kind and warm and draw. And so you're in a situation where maybe you're saying, well, how am I supposed to deal with this? And you pull, you know, you pull these beads through your finger, and you don't look, and you stop there, and you go, wow, I need to be nice, I need to be kind-hearted, I need to be warm, I need to be a little bit persuasive here, you know. And you do the moving lines and blah blah blah. And before you're done, you know exactly what you need to do. Not only that, but how you need to do it. And then it tells you what the outcome will be. It's amazing. It's an amazing tool that I've been using for my entire life almost. Yeah. That is the nature of life. And I was, that dropped into my lap, well, because I was a little snot, you know? And so it was a part of who I am. That's what I was talking about earlier. I couldn't help myself, you know? Found out later that same man who was just didn't get along with me, it turned out to be the principal of the school later on that I went to, and actually turned out to be a champion for special needs kids, you know. And I was telling someone who happened to go to my school, he was like a third my age or something, I don't know. And I told him my story, and he was extremely offended because that guy had championed his sister, who was special needs. And I said, well, I'm sure he changed over the years. And that guy was really mad at me. And I thought, man, I've got to learn to keep my big mouth shut. Because from when I had been there, you know, and I have an idea. One of the things that might have made him mad was that I was a notorious peacenik, you know. It was right during the 60s when things were blowing up, you know, 67, 68, 69, you know, well, actually 67, 68. And things were getting, you know, with I was anti-war, pro-peace. And he'd been a soldier, you know, and he hadn't gone to Vietnam, probably been in Korea. So I was very much not on that side. And so that may have had a lot to do with it. But in the meantime, and this was just a few years ago that I met this kid who two generations later had gone to the school and had this man as his principal. And I realized a lot of time had gone by. And it really made me wish I could see that man again and apologize to him. Or I don't even think I would do that because he'd probably forgotten about it, or maybe not. But, you know, life is just weird because if that hadn't happened, I eventually would have found the I Ching, but it wouldn't have been the same, you know. It wouldn't have been the same. You read one book on this shelf, you pick one, and you're going to read it. And I did. I didn't read the whole thing because it's massive, but I think it was in there for 3 weeks solid, every lunch period, reading that book. And it blew my mind because it was so... Life is life. Life is alive. Life is living. We should be very grateful for this life. We should be very grateful for being here now. You know, there are people who say, oh, Mo, you're just such a crazy optimist. And I say, yeah, I'm here. One day I'm not going to be here anymore. I'm going to be 70 in a couple of months, you know? And that's knocking on the door. I don't know how long I'm going to live for sure. I've got a pretty good idea. But something could step in and say, you've had enough time, man. And I am telling you right now that every day I wake up with a smile and say, I'm still here. I still have the opportunity to live and to be happy. And I think that's the most important thing there is. That's the most important thing we have. I still am developing into who I'm going to be, but I'm him right now. Do you see what I'm saying? We need to be happy. We need to be overjoyed every single day. So I'll make these beads and I'll carry my I Ching dragon beads with me because I love to consult the I Ching because it's an old friend. You know, I don't carry tarot cards around with me. I look at them every day. You know, I have another deck, one that I drew. I love these cards that I drew. I love them because they've always been in me. That's the point. When I drew my tarot cards, they'd always been in me. And I got to draw them and say, this is my deck, the one that's been in me all along. You need to create what's yours. And if you can't draw, don't worry about it. You know, that used to be in the Golden Dawn, that used to be the thing. You couldn't graduate, so to speak, from the Golden Dawn unless you created your own deck. Now, you didn't have to do the artwork, but you could, and you didn't have to be a good artist. You just had to defend it. It was like a PhD. Every little line, every color, they'd say, why did you choose that? You had to be able to tell them why. You know, that's it. If you know what you are doing in your mind, that's all that matters in life. You know who you are. If you know who you are, then that's all that matters. Man, I realize I've created several decks, like five or six, and they all mean something to me. And I don't use them all. The one I just did is a kind of a psychedelic deck. It's very bright, and I love it. Because that's who I am. It's where I'm from. So, be who you are. Be grateful that you are who you are. Because that's a blessing. Even if it's been tough, even if it's been hectic, even if it's been filled with surprises that some of them you'd rather not have had, but think of everything you've been through and realize it is imperative to who you are. All right? Okay? Okay. All right? All right. Man, I really did make some people, and just real, you know, uptight folks, even more uptight. I mean, really, really, really uptight. Okay. And you know that when I tell you I love you, you know I mean it, right? Okay? Okay. Till next week, I wish you all peace and love. Bye.
Until next we meet, I'll be waiting for you right here in the Paisley Penny Arcade. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Welcome to the Paisley Penny Arcade. I am Mo Abdelbaki, and today is Wednesday, the 12th of July. July. Yeah. 2023. Oh, the year is just speeding by, isn't it? Isn't it? Already the 7th month of the 23rd year of the 21st century. And to think just a moment ago I was in Mrs. Parsons' fifth grade class at Laurel Elementary in Fort Collins, Colorado. Okay, go ahead, those of you listening who want to steal my identity. I won't get you that far. And now that's been a challenge. And they'll go, yes, yes, I can do everything. Well, go ahead. I mean, really, it's the world today. Oh, the world today. Isn't it a sorry place? It's not that bad. It's weird. A lot of strange goings on. There are good people left in the world. There are good people left in the world, which was proven to me recently. Thank you again. You know who I'm talking to. So, what should we talk about today? How's the weather been? How are you feeling? How has your weather been? Wow. To those of you in Vermont, and I know that there are a couple of listeners in Vermont, Montpelier, and Vermont is a destination place. It's a destination state where people go to, like Colorado. People come to Colorado to see the mountains and to, you know, buy rock candy because we have lots of mountains and lots of rocks, and they make candy that looks like rocks. And it's good. We have saltwater taffy in Estes Park, and of course, I'm not sure what that has to do with the mountains, but it's pretty good stuff. And in Montpelier, Vermont, they have flooding, and that's Vermont is the same sort of thing. A lot of tourism, and this is the most popular time of year to be there. And so, what are they going to do? Because the flooding has been horrible. Montpelier is underwater right now. And of course, in many parts of the country, it is so incredibly hot that it's just crazy hot. And that's the only way to put it. 120 degrees.